their rollovers to National Treasury. We request that they submit this to us so that we can perform our assessment, so that when then they go to National, they already know which ones they will be able to roll over. And even those, maybe in our assessment, we can see that they will not be able to then pass the test at National Treasury. We assist them in that regard in ensuring that we're able then to tap into those rollovers. Adopted and media budgets, engagements held. I've already spoken to that, Honorable Chair, that we're in the process of finalizing the report as we speak now. And SCOA training provided in the district, and the feedback on the assessment of budget is provided to our municipalities, and we also monitor COVID-19 expenditure in the district there. Support initiatives, then if we continue with that, we do have bilaterals which are held between AG with our municipalities to address the progress on the audit and disputes between the municipalities and the audit teams. And we are part of the audit steering committee. And I know municipalities in the Skukuni district, they do invite us to their audit steering committees. That the AG action plans are submitted to a provincial treasury so that we can then review and give inputs to our municipalities. But just to say that this process does not end when we have received our audit outcome. It's a continuous process so that we can be able not to have issues that are repetitive there. Engagement sessions are held with the municipalities to monitor progress on the implementation of the audit action plans and the process plans so that we're then in a position to submit financial statements on time. And the draft AFS has been submitted to the provincial treasury. We requested that since the extension to submit by the end of October, that all municipalities then submit to provincial treasury, and the same process they follow with their internal audit and their audit committees. And we did look at those AFSs and provided our inputs. And although there's still a lot of work really that we are supposed to do in that regard, as indicated in BE's presentation. Then we monitor the establishment of the financial disciplinary board, and we also monitor the development and implementation of the contract policies. And before maybe I go to that slide, Honorable Chair, I just wanted to just touch on the progress on the reduction strategy of the UIFWs. In our municipalities and in this district in particular, to say that we have gone to an extent of working with National Treasury to develop and implement the UIFW reduction plans in our municipalities. We have issued a template to our municipalities that they have to complete and submit to the provincial treasury on the date that we'll be providing to our municipalities, so that then we're able to assess either on a monthly or a quarterly basis a progress made on the reduction of our UIFW. As we know, that cabinet has adopted this strategy to say that our municipalities has to reduce their UIFW expenditure by 75% over a period of 5 years. So therefore, we've issued that reduction plan template to our municipalities. But then what happened now in the short term is that we had a training or workshop on the UIFW expenditure with our municipalities. And this was held now around February, that all municipalities, all the 27 municipal councils in the province has to adopt the UIFW expenditure reduction plans and submit that resolution to the provincial treasury, so that then we can be able to monitor and assess moving forward, and that on a quarterly basis we will receive a progress plans regarding that, and that National Treasury then will convene a meeting with our MPECs within the coming 2 months to train them based on information that we presented in the workshop, the gaps and challenges that are there, that all the 27 municipalities must submit a disciplinary board and submit those TORs of those boards to the Limpopo Provincial Treasury by the 19th of this month, which is actually in 2 days or so. So there's these strategies that we are coming up with. Obviously, here we are with COXTA and our SALGA and our National Treasury, and where possible, our COXTA colleagues at National are also a part of these processes. I will not talk to these structures, but this is the process that we go through. There are more of our building capacity forums in our municipalities. We even go up to the level of PIGF, that is chaired by our premier, and we have that meeting now on the 24th. I think I've got the right date of the PIGF. For noting by the portfolio committee that the municipality to address discrepancies, without really repeating what is there, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we just want to get the basics right. We want our municipalities to be on top of their game so that then we're able to improve as the province. And I think we are on the right track as we speak with our municipalities in Sekhukhune. But really the improvement there, we're urging our municipalities to come to the party so that we can have a very good report as the province. Overall, there are improvements in the municipalities, as I've already mentioned there, Honorable Chair, that the state of municipal finance is a critical state and at all time lowest, and will want really to improve as the province, where then we know that most of the municipalities in the district are rural. But as we continue looking into various ways of increasing our revenue there, those really initiatives will be welcome. As DDG Mujaji mentioned, that we also look into issues of planning economic development into our municipalities. Those really has to assist us in making the lives of our people better in those municipalities. Provincial Treasury has endeavors to assist and support municipalities in implementing sound financial management, and we work with COXTA all the time, as they also have officials that are more into financial management as well. And to avoid duplication, we have already spoken to our coordination framework that we have entered into between ourselves and our COXTA there. It is important to know that urgent, critical and drastic measures need to be implemented to ensure sound and sustainable financial management processes as envisaged by the MFMA and its regulations and other pieces of legislation that are coming out of this MFMA, and we'll want our municipalities really to look into that. It is recommended that the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs note the report and note the municipal finance failure, and also the support and capacity building initiatives that we are implementing to actually try to improve on those failures and the compliance or non-compliance, and note the supposed support, or I mean the proposed support and intervention measures as presented. And thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Mukutsi. Can you remove your presentation so that we can then allow GCOC to load theirs, and then they can proceed
yes,
with their presentation? It's still on the screen.
I am trying.
Try to remove it.
Yes, I'm trying to do that quickly.
Yes.
I'm going to, is it unshared now?
It's still here, I can see still here, thank you, on the screen. Still here.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Can I go ahead, Chairperson?
Yes, Mr. Mokale, can you quickly introduce your team and
yes.
tell us who's going to
yes.
give the presentation?
No, thank you, Chairperson, and also the members of the Honourable of the committee. And let me also send my greetings to the Executive Mayor and his mayoral committee members, and also the mayors that we have in the meeting with their EXCO members that they are, have joined the mayors to support him or her, including the management of all the district and the locals, and my SARGA colleagues, COXA colleagues, the provincial treasury colleagues. I want to greet you all. Chairperson, in attendance with me is Dr. Tau, who is the DDG for NDMC, as well as Ms. Ravela, who is in charge, is the provincial manager for MISA, and Mr. Rufus Nchabeling, who is dealing with the secretariat in the department. I will not take long in terms of our presentation. I will do the presentation myself, which will focus on about four slides, just to share with the members our overview of the district and its locals. looking at the slide, you can see that the first bullet talks about the district as the authority, water service authority, and we all know about the water shortages in the area and the sporadic disruptions of water supply and the tankering services, you know, that are, prevalent, especially where the areas where there is problems of water shortage. We also want to flag this matter, which has always been flagged by the Executive Mayor, that there was a decision taken by EXCO to have the head office of the district in Jenfers. And that decision still stands, and we will also work with the district to engage national, all the relevant departments to make sure that this decision is realized, because the current head office is at the border of the municipality, which really creates a skew of access to the services in that particular vast space. Chairperson, also we note the stability that has been restored in Greater Tuva Sefitakgomo local municipality after the belated political interventions. We say belated because there was about 8 to 9 months or so of vacuum of leadership in terms of the speaker and the mayor, but ultimately it was concluded. And then subsequently, we are also happy that they have also recently just appointed the municipal manager. So our stresses are coming down slowly, as we can see that there is now leadership that is really trying to grapple with all the challenges that have to be dealt with in Sefitakgomo. We know about the SEZ that is a provincial program in the space of towards the Sefitakgomo space, and but it is going to benefit the district as well as the province. Ultimately, we are also participating in that SEZ program with MISA at the meetings, and we just we know that the COVID has impacted on this. On its performance, but it will also gain momentum with time. And then the next slide is depicted. We don't want to repeat. We know about the VBS saga. We are aware that shortly the liquidator is already meeting with the municipalities to engage most of them. Oh, I think all of them have submitted all the relevant documentation to the liquidator. And then they can only hope that some money can be recouped from the exercise that is undertaken now by the liquidator. The last bullet, we're just flagging that the issue of change management is a soft issue. The Sefitakgomo community or people still a bit inferior in terms of the towards the side of the municipality. So those are things that we must not ignore, and then we must work hard and try to really gender a new family or a new institution. And we're going into the elections, and then this municipality is a reality, and then we must assist those who are in one prejudice, to be able to move over so that it's one family and they're able to commit and also execute their obligations across the entire space of the municipality. I have jumped all the slides deliberately because they have been covered vastly by the AG as well as the Treasury, including COXA on mixed spending and the governance, as well as the financial management challenges. Safe to indicate that we are also happy or comforted that the district now have an MM, and one from our perspective as national, we are seeing a resilient collaboration between the provincial treasury, COXA, SALGA, and the district. We are really encouraged and about that resilience that is there. You're seeing a contingent of management incumbencies that are really grappling, with the responsibilities within the constraints that they have in terms of budget and any other resources that they may not have to try and keep the institutions afloat and supported by all of us in these municipalities. Just to also, before I go to the DDM update, just to indicate to the chair and the members that we are, as Mr. Pukunzi indicated, we are participating in some of the structures and forums that they have in the province. They do treasury, conduct media performance assessment, and then COXTA is doing B2B quarterly reviews. In most of those reviews, we participating. We're trying to really support and advise accordingly all these municipalities, including the monthly meetings, Dr. Malatlele has indicated. We are participating in those meetings from national. And then on the DDM update, Tsikhumuni is one of the last two municipalities in the province that has not launched. The other three has launched. And then what they did have was an inaugural meeting that was led by the Deputy Minister, Thembi Swaya, last year. And it was well attended, even when the conditions were quite stressful in terms of COVID. It was a good start to begin to really filter the concept and also ensure that the members and stakeholders in this particular space must begin to graduate to a common posture as a family and also to grapple with all the challenges, whether both inside the state, inside the government, or also external outside. So in terms of the one plan, they are also on track to deliver a one plan. As I've indicated in another meeting last week, the one plan for the rest of the municipalities that are not pilot municipalities of the DDM have also been asked to try and do the first generational plans by the end of this month. And then we are engaging with them. I know that there are meetings even during this week to really make sure that we respond to the adjusted timelines that we put in. And then the municipality has set up streams, working streams to make sure that all the sectoral updates and inputs and information supported by Statistics South Africa and all the resource institutions is packaged accordingly, and we are able to get the quality product down the line when we are expected to deliver at the end of the month. On MIG, not much to report, just to indicate that the locals did not reprioritize, but Tsikhumuni did reprioritize, and it was then incorporated in the current budget that is currently unfolding. I can only conclude the chairperson and members of the committee to indicate that we still want to urge the municipalities to continue to maintain optimal prudency, as we move towards the elections, and not to drop the ball. At some stage, we know that we're going to have the political leadership having to begin to go into a campaign space. But then as officials, we must remain prudent and then also not to be reckless per se. I know that Treasury and ourselves are busy finalizing circulars that is going to ensure that we really maintain this prudency at all times. And then there's not unnecessary, people taking advantage of it, as we have seen in the past. In short, the chairperson, that is our input. I thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mohale. Can we then allow Salga to present? Salga?
Thank you very much.
I thought the Councillor Nemo will first introduce the matters. I think he's a PEC member. Then he will also introduce you to us.
Yes, thanks very much, Chair.
Then Councillor Nemo takes the podium and do that. I'm told he's in the meeting on behalf of the provincial chair. The Councillor still in the meeting or is left?
I'm not seeing him on the participants. We might have lost him due to network. I'm not seeing Councillor Nemo in the meeting.
And then you are alone?
I'm with my COO, Mr. Lance, and my deputy chair from Elas Mutual Lady, Mr. Julia Macheve.
The deputy chair today is not a delegation of that because he must account to this committee. He's the mayor of the Lady today in this group. I was given the name of Councillor Nyamo. That's why I was asking if he's here. Today she's not wearing a cap of Falda. Yeah, she's coming in here, but proceed. So I presume there's no Falda representation. And then we had same difficulty yesterday. We couldn't allow Falda to present. But let me allow you the mere fact that the COO is here and he's been a constant attendee of these meetings. And we are sure if the COO is here, our issues will be taken further. Otherwise, we're not going to allow you to present now. Because this is tantamount to disrespect of the decorum of this house. The matters that we don't condone as this committee. Yeah, but let me allow you by visit that your COO is here. So that's why I wanted. And then the apology of the chairperson, he said it's going to be in the evening. I think you'll convey that message to the chairperson so that indeed in the evening he attends the meeting. Proceed, Mr. Roman.
No, thanks very much.
You yourself and tell us what you do in the province. Then, are you alone?
Yes, for now I'm alone and the
PO. You remain alone?
Yeah, yes.
Let me tell us what do you do. I thought your PDO is a woman as well. Was I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. The period.
Where is the provincial director of operations? Is maybe I may ask because I didn't even get her apology as well.
She's having a bereavement. Her mom has passed on, and the funeral is tomorrow.
So okay.
Delegated me to take care of the presentation.
It's understandable. Then you can proceed. I'm doing that to you so that even your other colleagues must respect the decorum of this house. When we call people who are given responsibility to do oversight in entities, we expect them to come in account. That's basically it. But proceed. Now that the PDO has got a bereavement, we'll accept that you can proceed.
Okay.
Introduce yourself and then proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And let me appreciate the opportunity that you are given to present on behalf of SALGA in relation to the support we provide to our municipalities. And also, Chair, let me start by acknowledging the presentation by AG. I think it's very important to acknowledge that presentation. And I'm trying to share the presentation, Chair. I'm not sure if it's visible in your site.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I can see you can proceed. We can proceed.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair.
Sure.
If you check in our presentation, Chair, the second slide talks about just the outline of our presentation, and I'm not going to dwell much on that, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. A person? Is it possible that Mr. Malebe Siroba moves the presentation towards the left of the screen? Because there's a problem of the of these pictures that are appearing on the screen that are impeding us from seeing the entire page.
Okay, through Chair, yeah. Let me maybe just start to share again the presentation. Is it visible now?
I can see the presentation online.
No, it's visible. However, it's visible through you, Chair. However, the problem is that I can see the chair on my right hand side, and I can see you. That part of the screen prevents us from seeing the entire page. I'm asking
you. You must remove it yourself, Honorable Feather. There's a plus and minus on your gadget. So put the minus, it will go.
Where is the minus?
Yes. You must put the minus, it's on you, it's not on any other person. In that picture, there's a plus and a minus. Then you take the minus, then you see the entire presentation.
There's no minus here, it's just the mute audio start, mute your pin, hide yourself, rename.
I removed him myself personally, but still even when he's here, I can still see because it's on the corner. So that's the thing that you need to control. You need to ask
you. Can
yeah, proceed. Is it better now, Honorable Chair?
Much, much better now. Much better.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair.
Yeah.
As I was saying, our client is going to talk about the key challenges that they've already alluded to by other stakeholders. But I think it's very important, Chair, to highlight, to say, for us as SALGA, we have already went through the AGIS report. As soon as the AGIS report is out, we think it's very important to have a diagnostic report on the issues that are faced by the municipalities. If you check our presentation where we talk about the challenge and all these things, most of them is the issues that AG have already highlighted. And it's also important that we partner with our key stakeholders like Cox Tax, Treasury, and all these other important stakeholders to address these issues that are facing our municipalities. And of importance, Chair, is also the three elements that we focus on: the issue of the sustainable and inclusive economic growth, and the issue of good governance and the resilient municipal institution and financial stability. And if you check, Chair, most of the issues that AG have raised, they are focusing on four elements, which is the institutional capacity, the financial management, leadership, and governance. And all these issues, they inform us to have detailed diagnostic report with clear recommendation, and also help us in terms of mapping the support that we're going to provide to our municipalities. And I think it's of importance, Chair, also to mention the issue of the early warning system, using the AG as one of the early warning system that inform our support. And also the issue of Section 71 report, it's also one of the key early warning system that we use to tailor our support to municipalities. And Chair, without even wasting time, because most of the things they've checked, they've already articulated by our stakeholders. If you check on the issue of the over-reliance on consultant, AG have highlighted this issue as one of the big challenges that our municipalities are relying on consultants. And also one of the issues that they've highlighted is the issue of duplication of costs, because you find that the municipalities is having someone in a position, but they also hire a consultant for that particular function. And this one, we address it through the capacity building programs that we have in terms of AFS preparation, and also the issue of GRAP compliance with for asset registers. So it's important for us as SALGA and all key stakeholders like COXTA and Treasury in the province to focus on this particular area, and also to have the best practice session thing. And if you check in our province, we have good municipalities like Cape Recon and Makutamaka that are doing the AFSs in-house. And then we use this thing as a best practice for other municipalities so that they can learn from these two municipalities on how to prepare these things in-house. And Chair, again, the other issue that was raised is the issue of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditures. And it's, I think it's important, Chair, to note also in the AGIS report that one of the municipalities, Tahomutuba, is one of the top three in the province, contributing to the 1.5 billion in terms of these unwanted expenditures. And it's important also for us, because if you check all the guidelines, like your MPEC toolkit, there's procedures and all these things that are there for our members to use in terms of addressing these things. So what we do, we have a regular capacity building and also participating in the sessions, the investigative sessions that will assist them in addressing and also maybe coming up with the remedies for trying to eradicate this particular expenditure. So it's also, again, important, Chair, that we acknowledge the support and the partnership we're having with National and Provincial Treasury, where we have sessions and all these things to assist our members to address these particular expenditures. And then, Chair, number three, the issue of the Municipal Demarcation Board that was raised on your opening remarks. You can see that Kitahomutuba was negatively affected by this particular thing. of the demarcation. And we also acknowledge that now they are able to stand because the job evaluation and the post profiling was done through the support of SALGA and the support of COCTA in the province. But also it's important, Chair, that we provide conscientious support, because if you check on the wage bill of that particular municipality, it's high because now they've combined a lot of individuals and some of the positions were duplicated. More need more support to ensure that they don't digress in terms of the support that was given in terms of job evaluation and profiling of our members. And then the issue of regression check on the audit outcomes is one of the challenges that we also have. Makuta Maka Ifrah Mughal, they've regressed, we acknowledge that. But it's important also to say, on a regular basis, we have engagement with AG, and also want to applaud AG for the preventative control measures that they put, they published around September last year. And that particular preventative control measures, they assist us in supporting our municipalities, because that particular documents, which are in relation to asset management, which are also in relation to the AFS preparation and SCM issues, they assist us when we have meetings with AG or with our municipalities. It assists us in terms of giving clear instruction in terms of how to we can correct these issues that were raised by AG. And also the issues that was raised by COCTA and Treasury about the historical issues that are occurring. It also assists, because that particular guidelines by AG, they assist us to give our municipalities direction in terms of how we can correct these things. And on a regular basis, Chair, we have structured engagement with the Auditor General in the province, the PC, and also in that meeting, municipalities that they're having challenges with AG in terms of the findings that are raised are there to discuss all these issues before the audit report is issued and all these other things are prevented before, so that we don't have conflict of or disagreement in terms of the opinion that was raised. And again, Chair, one of the measures that we use for monitoring the implementation of action plan is the issue of having quarterly meetings with our internal auditors and our risk managers, especially of municipalities that are having adverse audit opinion, so that of the audit action plan that they've designed to address the issues raised by the AG. And then, Chair, just before I go to the consequence management, the issue of grant dependence, I think is of public knowledge to say most of our municipalities depend on grants. And if you check Capricorn by itself, most of the areas that they serve is rural municipalities. And most of the people there, they're indigenous. And now with the impact of COVID-19, the situation have now even gone worse, because some of the people, those who were paying, are unable to pay because of the impact of COVID-19. And if you check now, even the reduction of the grants that are given to the municipalities, it will also have an impact in terms of our functioning as municipalities. But of importance, that I think is key, Chair, in terms of addressing these particular things, we need to come up with the issue of innovative and new revenue streams. If you check on the issue of public-private partnership, I think it's one of the elements that we encourage our municipalities to explore in terms of trying to get how can we implement other infrastructure projects through the use of that particular PPP initiative. And if you check again, you check Ex-Kupina itself, especially Peter Homotubas, there's a lot of minds there. So this particular thing, check, it can work in terms of addressing that particular thing. And then, Chair, the other thing that is raised by AG, which is key and is important to address, is the issue of the consequence management for the wrongdoings that were done by our municipalities. And AG on these things highlights here in here out to say there's no actions. But as SALGA and key stakeholders, Treasury and COCTA, we support our municipalities with processing of disciplinary matters against employees. We also assist in terms of strengthening of financial and general oversight of our councillors, regular trainings of MPECs, like I've already said, Chair, in terms of how to roll out their responsibilities. And also the issue of capacity building on the establishment and functioning of the boards for councillor and disciplinary procedures. And also, Chair, in the province, we have forums like our Chief Whip's Forum that assist in terms of addressing the issues that are raised. And also there, we give best practices, we invite municipalities, like I've said, that are doing good in a certain area, that they can assist our municipalities to improve the situation. And then, Chair, one of the important issues that also need the attention of the meeting is the issue of the infrastructure development within our area. I think as a result of COVID, infrastructure development is identified as one of the key elements that can be used to revitalize our economy. And it's important, Chair, to say, with the increase in the debts owed to municipalities by both household and government departments, like I've already said, if you do your analysis, we've already done the analysis in terms of the Section 71 report, we check the debts owed to municipalities. Households are the most contributors, and it makes sense because some of them are unemployed, like I've said, and they are not affording to pay. And if you check Skukuna, most of the service that we provide is free basic service delivery to our people. And then you check the debts owed to municipalities. Majority of the amount, like 90%, is over 90 days. And that tells us that the probability of trying to recover that money is low. And then it needs us to come with the sharing of alternative funding models, like I've already said, such as the issue of public-private partnership, and also the issues that was introduced, the new reform in terms of the development, district development model. It assists us, Chair, to say all these things, if they can be implemented, they can assist our municipalities to implement new projects and also to service the aging infrastructure that we have there. And it's important, Chair, that these particular, especially the PPP, is explored to assist our municipalities, Chair. And then the last challenge that, Chair, which is important, is the issue of the special economic zone. And we also want to acknowledge the support provided by Mr. there, as articulated by Mr. Moral, to say we acknowledge the support, but I think more needs to be done to try to speed up that process there. Action plan already was developed through the support offered by COGSTA and SALGA and Treasury. So, but we still say, Chair, it's important that we work together to try to correct this particular or to make sure that this project is fully implemented so that it can benefit the people of our Skukuna district. Chair, we also want to raise or to mention to say we acknowledge that the support is being rendered, and also AG during his 2016-17 annual report, he's mentioned that to say we need to do more or we need to come with innovative way of how can we correct this particular or support our municipalities. We need to have, like the challenges as articulated, we checked by AG that what they've said, it shows us that we need to have differentiated support to individual municipalities because the challenge that are faced our municipalities, they are unique to each and every municipality. So it needs us to work together as stakeholders and also want to appreciate because some of the recommendations that are given by this particular honorable committee, it assists us in correcting some of the issues that are raised. And as SALGA, we commit to say we will work together with all stakeholders in terms of providing differentiated support through the diagnostic report that we're doing and also through the analysis of the Section 71 report. We will continue to work with all stakeholders to ensure that our municipalities' situation are corrected. And of importance, Chair, is to provide a very sustainable service delivery to our communities because one of the undesirable warning that always we get from our communities is unrest by our communities. And this particular warning is not right. And we have to have proactive actions in terms of how are we going to address these issues that were raised by AG. Because some of them, they are just a highlight of a deep situation that we need to address with our municipalities. And Chair, that's my last slide to you in terms of the support approach that we think it will assist us in terms of helping our municipalities. Like I've already said, it's important to say we have early warning system that we use to assist them to analyze the situation of our municipalities. AG report is one of them, and it's very key because if, let's say, we analyze it in details throughout all the four pillars, the issue of governance, the issue of functional capacity, the issue of financial management, and the issue of Section 71 report, as I'm already highlighting to you, Chair, to say, already through our analysis, we can see that we have a problem in terms of payment by the household, in terms of the debts owed to municipalities. And the issue of Section 72 and 73 reports, all these reports, they can assist us in mapping up the controls to avoid being reactive to issues. We must try to be proactive. We must start working. Like now, the AG report, the one which is coming, we must, as soon as it comes, we have to analyze it and get all the corrective measures and come to the roundtable as stakeholders to try to identify the support that is targeted to our municipalities and the ongoing monitoring by our provincial and national department is also important in terms of how can we support our municipalities. So, Chair, it's very, very important, and we say ongoing municipal support, it will yield results if we are proactive and we start to have this early warning system implemented, and we analyze them so that we can assist our municipalities, Chair. And then, Chair, as our part of our recommendation, we're saying we recommend to this committee to say no, the support that we provide to Skukune and its local municipalities. And also, Chair, what's important is to know the proposed approach that we're saying we must implement to support our municipalities, because we think this is one of the keys that can assist us to turn the situation around. Thanks very much, Chair, and appreciate the time. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I should think we are done with the presentations. Yes, we are done. Can we remove the presentation on the screen?
Yes, Chair. I'm removing, Chair.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Who's calling the Chair now? Can we remove the presentation on the screen, please? Still here, Mr. Siroma.
Yes, technology, Madam Chair.
It's dealing with you.
Yes.
Are you a BBT?
No.
So it's done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Siroma. Yes, colleagues. Those were the presentations from all the relevant stakeholders, colleagues from the department, Malga. Can we raise our hands on the platform? That's why I'm only seeing three hands. That's the hand of Honorable Brink, Honorable Kaiser, Honorable Tawan Chawa, and Honorable Mpumza. Those are the four heads, that's one. Yes. So it will be Honorable Brink, followed by Honorable Kaiser, followed by Honorable Tawan Chawa, and then Honorable Mpumza, followed by Honorable Direko. Yes, in that order. Can I hand over to you, Honorable Brink?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. You must tell me if you can hear me and see me.
Yes, I can hear, see you. You are very clear, and I can as well hear you. Yes.
Okay, I will switch off my video if I become, if my connection becomes unstable.
Yes, okay.
Chair, in the first instance, a major problem that municipalities have, and confirmed by most of the presentations made to this portfolio committee, is a lack of a culture of accountability. The technical term for it is consequence management, but in essence what it comes down to is that when people break the rules and behave badly, they must face the results of their actions and not be protected against it. Without such a culture, we are simply duplicating errors. And one manifestation of this lack of consequence management, if I have to use the terrible phrase, is that officials who do not abide by the rules or face difficult circumstances that they do not want to account for, resign their positions in one municipality amid these questions, and then take up employment in a different municipality. It seems that the circle of people who work in local government is just becoming smaller and smaller, and so people can job hop, and that's something we have to look at. But the problem of consequence management, and I've been waiting for Makudu Tamaha to appear before us, Chairperson, because the municipal manager of Makudu Tamaha, Ms. Nancy Rampedi, if I have that correct, was in the position of CFO of Moretele in the Northwest when that municipality made deposits in VBS Bank. But the indications are that Ms. Rampedi took up this position in the present municipality, leaving Moretele, before any proper investigation could be conducted into the circumstances of how the money of Moretele came to be invested in contravention of MFMA investment regulations and guidance by National Treasury in VBS Mutual Bank. When I raised this issue with the Deputy Minister, as I recall, the indication was given that Ms. Rampedi could take up her position in the new municipality, the one appearing before us today, because she had left Moretele in the absence of any charges being lodged against her, which is the loophole in our law as I understand it. But be that as it may, I'm not drawing any conclusion or drawing any conclusions about Ms. Rampedi's guilt of financial misconduct. But what I do want to ask, having this opportunity, to Ms. Rampedi, if she's here, is to tell us whether she is cooperating in the investigation pertaining to the investment of money by Moretele in VBS Mutual Bank, being at that stage a person with fiduciary responsibilities of that municipality, and presumably extensive knowledge of the MFMA and its regulations, including its investment regulations. Can she give us the assurance that she is cooperating? And if she's not cooperating, what is the reason? I would also like to know whether the MEC for local, responsible for local government in Limpopo, was aware of this when Ms. Rampedi was appointed, because surely it is a matter that's relevant when considering reports that a council has appointed a particular person who might be relevant to an investigation of a very serious matter. So, Chair, that's the first point. The second point relates to the inability to fill these CFO positions. And we hear it over and over again. We can't fill the CFO position of a municipality, and the Auditor General says it. There's no CFO, there's no proper financial management. Or there is this constant turnover of officials occupying the position of CFO. Can the DDG, who made the presentation here today, please share with us her insight as to the reason why municipalities in especially Limpopo, Mpumalanga, the Northwest, the Northern Cape, the Free State, and the Eastern Cape struggle to recruit and retain chief financial officers? What is the reason? Surely there must be some sort of an insight into this problem that can be shared with this committee. And Chairperson, I'm afraid that simply saying that we can't pay them enough money doesn't answer adequately the issue. There are many businesses who employ qualified accountants and who cannot possibly pay the type of remuneration that municipalities do, even smaller municipalities. Unless you are saying that there is such a critical shortage of graduates in accounting and financial management from South African universities that it is inhibiting the ability of government to hold records of its financial position. And to, I mean, it seems to be almost inconceivable. And if that's the case, what do we do? Do we import CFOs from abroad? Do we get people from the rest of Africa to come and work as CFOs, or from Asia or some other place that have the skills? Because if our universities can't produce these people, then that's the only thing we can do. But Chairperson, I suspect that is not the problem. I suspect that the problem isn't with the universities and education system. The problem is with the municipalities and the work environment and the rules of recruitment that apply in practice. But I would really like the benefit of insight into this from the DDG. This is something that we should all endeavor to understand in depth, because without these technical expertise, not only CFOs, engineers is the other profession, without them, no amount of money and temporary intervention and placing municipalities under administration is going to work. Service delivery requires technical skills and expertise and an ethic of professionalism at the back, without which councillors and mayors can't keep their promises to communities and can't fulfill their constitutional mandate. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honourable Brink. Can we allow Honourable Cesar to ask the questions? Honourable Cesar.
Chairperson, please indicate if you can see me.
I can't see you. I cannot see you. Yes, now I can see you clearly, so Honourable Cesar.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Here is where I want to start. The question of infrastructure. Defeat me, Chairperson. The presenter, Mayor Mojad from Costa, spoke to many issues pertaining to the LEDs in the municipality. And to this end, we have not heard in what form are those LEDs. Because we do research on the ground as to what is happening. Because in Sikukuna district, the learner contractor there, the learner development contractor is not effective, as contractors are always struggling with payments, and the district has not done anything about it. With the enterprise development of agriculture there, only having been attended for 2 sessions, and nothing has ever happened. So my question is, Chairperson, if the status quo is such that we have programs that are not as effective, how are we going to realize the LEDs in municipalities that should improve the economic activities and improve the revenue of those municipalities? Is there anything that will ever happen without the benefit or the interest of the officials into it? Because the Auditor General has put it eloquently when he says that some, if not all of them, of these contractors have been directly linked to the officials and politicians. And then, Chair, there is an issue that has just come out on national on television on Channel 5 about Dabelkop in Elias Mubalit, where there is an issue of the toilets that have just been erected there, with pits that have been opened, which endangers the lives of the children there, and some many of those that project, the workers to date have not been paid. What action has the district taken in ensuring that projects such as these have thorough-going plans as to who will get plans paid when? There is no middleman situation in this contractor, in this contract and service providers, because many of the workers, if you go to College Chabani Chairperson, as I went physical, you will find out that in almost all tenders and service providers, people take money on behalf of the workers. There's no proper registration of the workers. If the workers are injured, they will sit at home without being considered. There is a matter of manipulation of the pay slips of the workers. And how does the province ensure that these situations that are emanating as a result of these middle people and the tender system, that is not actually bringing some value in terms of the changing of lives of our people, but to some, and to those that are connected to officials and politicians, what will they do to put remedial action to ensure that this system comes as it doesn't hold anymore? And then, Chairperson, in Makhudu Tamaha, then there's an issue there of that is greatly affected by drought. The municipality only pumps water once a week there. I'm wondering what could be the problem. Will it be the problem of capacity, or what will the municipality's response be in terms of this situation? What value for money has the contracted company in this community brought? Can the district water services provide the committee with details of what service providers have done to mitigate drought in this area? Is there evidence that this particular case has been resolved, or will it be just a yes, pacifying answer without that induces us with doses of sleeping without providing details as usual in the committee. On the issue of service delivery, I want to ask Elias Mutualist, local municipality, if they can take us into confidence on the status of electricity challenges in Zenzele Ward 6 and Masakeng Ward 14. Because to date, the above areas have not received any delivery of service regarding electricity. There is an interdict by the landowner. The people there have resided over 21 years and 30 years, respectively. And there's an interdict now, last year, and what is the situation? Because if the people are there, the municipality must provide service.
the residents of that area have asked the municipality to fence Madisa Dam and deep level river course, a death trap for children around the village. The village is in Ntuane, Chairperson, Ntuane, where the mayor resides. Some of these challenges are right there in front of the mayor. And people are drowning there. There's an incident that happened of drowning on Saturday, the 24th of October last year. The bits that were dug by the municipality for infrastructure purposes have turned into dams. A number of people have lost their lives there. Hamadisha area in Tuan. Why has the municipality not heeded to the call for fencing of that dam? Is there an adequate rescue team in the Kukune district to avoid having to wait for divers from Mukuban whenever the residents are in crisis? If yes, what are the relevant things? Because, Chairperson, one of the officials that is unashamedly quoted as saying that they see no point of establishing such a unit, as they will be paying people for nothing as such incidents happen once in a while. Just tell me the caliber of leadership that just says those things. Perhaps this irresponsible statement is said because there will be nothing much to the benefit of the officials. And as the Auditor General stated, that in some instances the service provider appointed did not meet the required process. And then, Chairperson, on the issue of the scarcity of water in the area of Simpuruburu, can the province explain why Simpuruburu in Moze agricultural farm has been neglected? Given so much need for a much improved local economic development and local economic activity, we should give potential improvement to the revenue of the municipalities and job creation. There are neglected farms which were equipped with machinery and funding by the department, but it has failed to give the tangible report on what happened and what is the plan going forward. No one in that community knows anything about what is the way forward with regard to that project. Then there is a situation of I want to ask the Premier, is the Premier here, Chairperson?
No, there's no Premier here, Honorable Kevin.
Okay, it's the district.
There's no even single MEC, it's HOD in finance in Limpopo and the
DC. The MEC here?
No, you can ask that question. I reserve it for the evening.
Okay. No,
for the evening. The MEC will be here in the evening. Are you done? Honorable Kevin? Honorable, are you done? Can I allow Mam Kizwe to proceed? Honorable Gaba and Chava. Mam Kizwe.
Okay, yeah, technology, especially in this load shedding. Sorry, Chairperson.
With you, I understand. I do understand.
Thank you, Chair. My
Chairperson.
Hello?
Where's your picture today? Can we see your face?
Oh.
So that the mayor of Limpopo must see you, Honorable Kavan. You are muted. Unmute. Umutile.
Sorry, Chair. I was just... Okay, thanks, Chair. Can I close my picture because of the load shedding, please?
Because of the load shedding.
Oh, yes, Chair. Chair, my question, it will be to the Ephraim Mohale. Let me thank all the presentation that the presenter that has been presented here, Chair, and also greeting to our colleagues and the municipalities who are here and provincial SALCA. All protocol observed, Chair. Chairperson, my question to the Ephraim Mohale, Chair. There is a follow-up following the oversight to the municipality in October 2009. The committee recommended, Chair, that Ephraim Mohale...
I'm back. Chairperson, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. I allowed Honorable Tawa because you had gone. Can we... You want... How many more minutes do you want, Honorable Tawa? Or should I give you a second round? Because Honorable
Tawa... Just what? Just 50 seconds.
50 seconds. Okay, finish up.
Start counting, Chair.
I've started to count.
Okay. it's just on the issue of the SIU report, Chairperson.
In relation to which municipality? In relation to which municipality?
With regards to Elias Mutualeti municipality.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, where is that SIU report? Because no implementation of the recommendations of the report has been made thus far in terms of the entire SIU report. It has been 6 months now. It was not been brought to council and nothing has happened. And we would like the committee to be appraised there. Then there's a question of the road that links Tafelkop, Muteti, and Philadelphia, Ndwane, and Loskop. It has potholes. What has Elias Mutualeti done in response to...
Yes, thank you, Honorable Kaza. Can I now hand over to Mam Kive to proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as the committee following the oversight to the municipality in October 2009, the committee recommended that Ephraim Mohale should follow up with the police regarding progress in the petrol card flood cases where the municipality lost the amount of 197,000. The committee urged the mayor to take all the necessary steps to ensure that the municipality pursues this follow-up, including considering the options of lodging a civil claim against the responsible individual. Chairperson, can the municipality tell this committee what is the update on this matter? And also, Chair, when does the municipality envisage establish a disciplinary board to investigate allegation on financial misconduct? That is the Ephraim Mogale, Chair. Are you done? On Sikukune, just I chair out a year ago, where the residents of Sikukune district in Kroppenstal protested for 3 weeks for not having drinkable water for 6 months. The community was subsequently promised a water relief project worth the amount of 143 million for immediate implementation. Can the municipality tell this committee what is the current status of this project as a state chair? And also, Chairperson, in 2018 and 2019, the district awarded a bite amounting to 7 million to a driver in the employ of the municipality who failed to disclose to declare such employment is, and the Chairperson, has the district recouped this money from that individual, Chair, that it was a Sikukune. Also, Chairperson, in the Makuduma Matasa, the municipality has written off irregular expenditure amounting to approximately 183 million over the last 3 financial years, as well as the 46.8 million in unauthorized expenditure in the 2008 and 2009. Chairperson, did the municipality investigate all the instances of irregular and unauthorized expenditure before writing all the amount of the people of Makuduma Matasa off? Did they investigate it thoroughly to make sure that the amount that they are writing off, it won't make the people of Makudu Matasa suffer about the
Makudu Tamaha?
Makudu Tamaha. They won't suffer about the service delivery that they are supposed to get to this municipality. Thank you, Chair. Thank
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Kavan Chava. Can I allow Honorable Bumza to take the floor?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I've been always asking myself, where could be this place? Is it the neighbor's house? Where you
which
are?
Which one? Chair, the decorum of the committee does not allow you to ask me where is this place. Chair, can allow me now to switch off my video, Chair?
Yes, we can.
Chair, thank you very much. Let's welcome the detailed presentation by both the Provincial Coxstar and Provincial Treasurer as well as Salga around the presentation on the performance of these municipalities. Chair, may I quickly from the very wet instance join this meeting by welcoming and commending the Makudu Tamaha local municipality for achieving unqualified audit. Despite that, its sister district municipality, Sekukuni, has regressed. Despite that, it had a heavy reliance on consultants. A high matter of concern. Chairperson, the kind of support desired by Section 154 of the Constitution to be rendered by the Provincial Coxstar and Treasury is should of necessity yield to a particular outcome, and in this instance, skills and capacity to municipalities to exercise their powers and perform their functions. Looking at this report, Chair, particularly by the provincial treasurer, it reflects that the municipalities in the Sekukuni district and the district itself have not actually been able to maintain, to budget and maintain for maintenance of their infrastructure, particularly for repairs and the renewal of assets. And in the same vein, the report indicates that water and electricity meters are not maintained, thus resulting in the loss of revenue for the municipalities. Now, Chair, I've raised the issue of the kind of support by provincial coordinator, because its existence is actually to perform that function as outlined in the Constitution. This relates, Chair, one also to the underperformance in the spending of the MIG, very critical to service delivery and infrastructure development. This report also by Treasury departs a different report from the DDG Mujaji, the kind of support they are sending to them. But the report from Treasury also reflects that there is a lack of technical capacity and expertise. Now my question to both the province, Treasury and Coxstar: what kind of support have they been providing to these municipalities so that they could perform their functions related to service delivery and infrastructure development? Why have they not provided project management units in these particular municipalities so that they could be seized with this in function of service delivery and infrastructure development? Of necessity creating jobs for the communities in those areas and also building up assets necessary for revitalizing the economy within these municipalities. And when are these municipalities to be trained and capacitated to undergo? Because yeah, it also reflects that why they are underspending. There is a critical lack of forward planning scheme in these municipalities. When are these municipalities actually to begin to be capacitated on forward planning so that they might be in a position to spend fully their MIG allocations and provide services to communities as required by law? Equally, Chair, the AG report or the AG as presented here is skirting on the lack of proper record keeping and the document management system by all municipalities. And it reflects that the capabilities also of this management do not exist. Now, these are basic pillars of administration. Why is it that the province, both the Treasury and COGSTA, not provided this kind of support? If then, therefore, possible, we do have such record-keeping own bodies, record-keeping and risk management skills. If then they seem to be lacking and the own bodies they do exist in this municipality, what is it in terms of their support that they are providing, that they are doing to ensure that these critical basic skills of record keeping and information management and risk management are actually upscaled so that the municipalities might be in a position to perform in relation to administration? The chairperson also, the Auditor General's presentation reflects that assurance both at the executive and the committee at the audit committee level is one. And this is a high area of concern by the Auditor General and the committee itself. Why is it that municipalities, we have in these municipalities the leadership in the form of the mayor, in the form of the speaker, as well as the administrative, the accounting officers. Now, could they appraise this committee? Why does this situation obtain where assurance in relation to audit is a matter that is wanting in these municipalities? Chairperson Fetakgomo Tubase Municipality, that council has written off a fruitless and wasteful expenditure without conducting investigations. Can then the mayor or the speaker of the municipality explain to this committee what were the compelling considerations for them to actually consider and adopt a write-off? I suppose should have been these are recommendations of the MPEG. A write-off of fruitless and wasteful expenditure without undertaking investigation. Why do they allow the dodging of consequence management? Why is it not implemented in these municipalities? The report also indicates that the financial decisional boards have not been appointed within the Kukuni district as well as the locals, in that even regular expenditure has been written off without investigation by the MPEG. This is a serious concern because it means to say that there is serious underperformance when it comes to financial management. And at what stage and at what time would these municipalities actually check up their financial management and councils and their committees actually exercise their oversight to enforce accountability on management in these municipalities? And the leadership of these municipalities must do assist to explain to us why these conditions they do obtain. Sekhukhune district has been adopting unfunded budget for the past 4 consecutive years, since 2016-17 financial year. What has been the role of the provincial treasurer on this matter? Why over the last 4 years, a district municipality has been adopting unfunded budgets, actually from the word go, rendering municipality towards a deficit regime? What has been the province's role, provincial treasurer, around this matter? Because this budget, as last they are actually presented to them, in terms of their monitoring support, what role have they been playing in this thing? Because this can't be only blamed on the district alone. What has been the province doing in part of bringing this support? Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Chair. Are you still around?
I'm around. Where will I go, Mara? Honorable, I don't have a neighbor to get chickens. I will go there.
No, I'll give you a neighbor with chickens.
I don't have any neighbor with chickens, Honorable Mbumza. Can I hand over to Honorable Direko?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, my question is on Treasury. On their report, when they were dealing with institutional capacity, they have indicated that critical and strategic positions remain vacant for a longer time in the municipality. So in this situation, what is their role in ensuring that we avoid such a situation in? And also, we all know that critical positions, if are not filled, they also have negative implications on the service delivery. So as the provincial department, how are they assisting the municipality to avoid such situation so that we can have a quality services that we provide to our people? And it is not only that, they also indicated that there's a lack of necessary skills in the municipality. So how are they assisting the municipality to acquire and be capacitated with the relevant skills to their employees? And also, Chair, on financial health, they have indicated that a district and 2 local municipalities, which is Elias Motsoaledi and Mogodu Thamaga, are technically bankrupt. And so what is it that the support that is provincial treasury offering to these municipalities? Does these municipalities have a credible financial recovery plan in place? If yes, are they implementing it? And then they have also indicated that they provide municipality with support of offering municipality trainings where necessary. So can the provincial treasury tell us, is there any positive story that came out of the support that they have provided to these municipalities? And then on Peter Homu, Chairperson, the MPEC have submitted 2 reports to the council during 2020 October. And 2 are still pending. What were the content of that MPEC report that has been submitted to council? And secondly, when are they going to deal with the 2 outstanding reports that they have indicated in their presentation? And as per their report, one of the causes of the challenges that they are having in the municipality in terms of revenue collection is lack of revenue enhancement strategy. What is it that the municipality is doing to deal with that matter? Does the municipality have revenue enhancement strategy in place? If not, why not? If yes, what are the challenges in implementing that strategy? And also on Peter Homu, the last one on Peter Homu, how is the municipality addressing the lack of financial discipline in the institution? According to the AG's report, Chair, it shows that a municipality is struggling with daily and monthly controls, and they also unable to review and monitor compliance. So what is the reason behind that? Does the municipality have capacitated staff in finance? And lastly, Chair, the municipality have failed to spend 2018-2019. What was the reason for that? And on Makudu Tamaha, their presentation have indicated that they have no asset care management in place. So I'm a bit concerned. How do we trust people who can take care of their assets to service our people? So why asset care and management in place or management in place? What are the challenges and how are they going to deal with that? And AG indicated that risk management is a concern in this municipality. So what is their plan in addressing that matter? And lastly, on Makudu Tamaha, it's also indicating that the municipality is technically bankrupt and able to pay their creditors. What is the reason behind that particular situation? And is the municipality having a plan in place to resolve that matter? These are my questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Direko. I think we need for lunch and going to the house. Then it gives the colleagues from the municipalities ample time to prepare for the responses. I must share with the colleagues our experience here. We don't mind to knock at 2 a.m. Ideally, we are supposed to knock off at 10, but depending on the nature of your responses, we wouldn't mind to even leave this platform at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. So the point that I'm trying to raise with you, we're giving you ample time from now up to 7 o'clock to prepare your responses adequately so. So that when we reconvene, then you'll be ready to respond to all the issues. So I must adjourn this meeting, and I also need to attend the chairperson's meetings that the House Chair is presiding over now. Then we'll reconvene at 19 hours. Thank you so much, colleagues, for your time. Colleagues, my colleagues, members of Parliament, take advantage of this lunch hour. You refuel because it's going to be a long night. So those who want to take the naps can do that during this lunch hour, because when we reconvene, we're going to determine the root causes and deal with the problems. Yes. The meeting is adjourned for now, till we meet at 19 hours. Thank you, colleagues.